You are listening to the Riverfront Church Podcast, a place to explore faith, history, ideas, and more.
To me, today's lesson was one of the most important things that I've been able to take away that we learned, because I believe as we talk about offense, you know, it's so easy to... let's put it this way. It's a challenge. It challenges me. Like, if I get offended by something, well, it's like, why? You know, and why am I not offended by the things that Jesus clearly says that we should be offended by? You know, and I said earlier, I think it just, some things tie back into traditions of man, right? When I'm more offended by certain symbols or things being represented a certain way, but I'm not truly offended by the things that Jesus said that we should be offended by, right? And so it challenges me so that I'm not hypocritical and so that I'm not also following in line with the rules of man.
We talked about death and resurrection and the person of Jesus. So we talked about who is Jesus, what did he come to do, and how do we respond? So, you know, it's sort of like, what, now what, in a sense. And we then also looked at, okay, so depictions of Jesus or depictions of the Christian story in some way, how are they offensive or how are they funny or what makes them not offensive, what makes them, not funny, and et cetera. And one of the things that we didn't quite directly address, but that comes up for me, is Paul talking about the offensiveness of the cross. So on the one hand, like, what are you offended by, right? And Paul, in his own day, is saying, of course this is offensive. If you want a powerful God that will, in power, destroy your enemies so that you can, you know, finally find yourself justified and, you know, I was right and my God can lick your God and that's that, you will be offended by the story of the crucified Jesus, who cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And at the same time, if you want a God who will finally reveal all wisdom, you know, to you and give you full understanding and knowledge, and you want it all right now, and you want to be right, you will also be offended by the cross because it seems incredibly foolish way. It looks like foolishness and weakness, not strength and wisdom. And that's what Paul exactly says. So from the very beginning, Paul's already talking, I know you're going to get offended by this. You're going to get offended by this story. And to this day, that's still some of the issues that we have in interfaith dialogue. There are religions that are offended by how we talk about God, how we see God in Jesus, how we see Jesus as the second person of the Trinity. I mean, that's all these things that really you can't, for some interfaith dialogue, you can't get past because it's so offensive for people who want to defend God, quote unquote, and quote unquote. And so there's that aspect of this before you even get to depictions of Jesus in terms of objects or paintings or movies or, you know, just our Holy Scripture is offensive. The story of the cross is offensive according to the Paul. And I think if you think about it long enough, it starts exactly all the questions that came up today. How can Jesus be fully God and fully human? Isn't that by definition impossible? You know, how can a rock be a tree? Well, it can't be. Either, you know, a tree is not a rock, and a rock is not a tree. So how can you be a rock tree? You know, and we say, well, humans can't be divine, and the divine is not human by definition. And that's what the Greeks are wrestling with, right? How can then Jesus be God and human? How's that even possible? And, you know, one of the answers to that is because God is God and I'm not. So how can anything be? Well, if we're allowing a world, which is a funny way to put it, but allowing a world that has God, then we sort of have to be more expansive than, well, that's all I know and that's the way it has to be. But secondly, it's more, partly it's mystery. Well, why this? But it's almost more dwelling, okay, what's the power of that? What's the power of God becoming human, what the tradition calls incarnation? What does that mean for our bodies? We talked about that last week, that the importance of the body, there is no sense in Christian faith that there's this inner secret self that is better than your body, and there's no sense that your body is better than this inner secret self. It's no, you are to be truly human is that you are body spirit. You have the breath of God and you are enfleshed. And so there are glimpses of incarnation even in our world. So that's the power to me, that there's a continuity and there's an incredible affirmation of the human existence, and there's this incredible solidarity that God has with our suffering. So then that brings us to Curtis's point. So then why are we so offended by images we might see that we like or don't like or we don't think are accurate or whatever they might be, but we're not offended by the things God specifically lists by revelation in Scripture, which is, you offend me by, you know, rendering me service. And
So I'm gonna throw this concept out. Could our being offended at a depiction of something be a form of idolatry?
Ooh.
That we have raised that image, whether that's the image of a cross or the image of the Last Supper or whatever, up to a point where we say this has value and therefore should not be made fun of. Or should not be ridiculed in any way or whatever. You know, have we turned that into an idol? And does our offense betray our idolatry in it? You know, that we are more consumed by, this being generally as a society here, more consumed by images than we are by, again, we can see people's lives being destroyed and simply walk away from that. But, you know, God forbid you put up a funny cartoon about, you know, the crucifixion or something.
Yeah, I think there's a way in which we can elevate things. I think there's a lot at stake for people in images, right? There are things that get triggered. I mean, I think it's complex. You know, I don't want to oversimplify it, but yes, can it be idolatrous? Absolutely. I think it's also kind of laziness, right? That's the easy thing to address. It's the easy thing to see. We don't want to wrestle with the unknown or the mysterious. That is, why did this artist depict it this way? The context, we talked about intention, we talked about intent, and we talked about context, we talked about audience, we talked about how well was it done? You know, did you just draw up a sketch because you just wanted to offend everybody in your class just because offensiveness is fun? You know, that to me is, sorry for all you fans out there, but that's the difference to me between Beavis and Butthead and South Park. You know, South Park is incredibly offensive to an incredible amount of people, but there's something really artistic and well done about it that I don't know you can always say about every Beavis and Butthead episode. Maybe you can counterpoint that. But
I will just say that Mike Judge's later work on King of the Hill showed a lot more subtlety and nuance and a better critique of society
than
maybe
South
Beavis
Park.
And Butthead did.
Oh, right.
He went from Beavis and Butthead to, yeah. Little stuff you pick up in.
Yeah.
So I just want to add, what we're all talking about, this offensive thing, is we were showed a series of pictures that were, you know, a little bit different, you know, like an image of the crucifixion, but, you know, with different images added into it, or a picture of the Last Supper with, you know, all the disciples tweeting, you know, while Jesus is taking a selfie. And, you know, the question was, look at these images and say to yourself, is it funny or is it offensive? And if it is offensive to you, why? And, you know, we all went through it all. And in the end, the question, and the main point of that was told to us, was that focus on what's important, because what offends you is what is most important to you. And that's kind of just what Ken was saying. Like, we've put so much thing on this image that it's almost like an idol to us. Like, you know, if I look at Jesus, you know, crucifixion in this image, and because someone adds like a funny company logo on it, why does it all of a sudden become offensive? Because the image of it isn't offensive. You know, his sacrifice was important, but how it was depicted in a picture isn't really that important. So why am I getting offended if I was offended by this image of how it was portrayed? You know, so it just kind of makes me stop and think and say, well, I need to rethink some things that I put so much focus on that probably aren't really that important, and worry about the things that are offensive, like Ken shared with us in the movie, where a movie was done about a particular culture and Ken saw the movie, people from that culture saw the movie, and what Ken thought they would be offended by, because they're very conservative, was, you know, the nudity in it. But what the people were offended by was how they portrayed their people as inhospitable. And that was more offensive to them than seeing a person nude on the screen. So it's like, what we think is offensive really isn't offensive. And I think, you know, maybe how we portray people or how we treat people, you know, is maybe more important than these images out there.
There, I was saying earlier, like, what is offensive to God? And it's you know, it happens in Isaiah, Amos, I think in Samuel, and other places, Psalms, where God is saying, hey, here's what offends me. You do all these feasts. You know, you have all these solemn assemblies, you do render me sacrifices, but they're not from a truthful place. They're not from a contrite heart. You do not, your fasts mean nothing to me because you don't actually support the widow. You don't help the stranger, the immigrant among you. You don't protect the orphan. You don't serve the poor. You're not just. You're not living in God's holy peace, shalom. So those are the ways that we offend God. That's the offensiveness. So can we share in that offense? Now, I want to hold that for a second because there's this other piece to it that, frankly, I think, and this is hard, and I'm not saying I'm decided on this, but there is, I think, Ken was saying this earlier, that Christians, I think, are called to constant invitation. And there's, I think, a way to do this that's wise, but every conversation, even something offensive, can become a learning opportunity. And I think sometimes, especially in the United States, we're a litigious culture. We're offended and we want to fight about it and we want to economically protest and we want to take people to court and we want, like, immediate gratification in terms of, this was wrong, I want it righted. And I just think that if we took those opportunities, instead of being offended by what Starbucks does to a cup or doesn't do it to a cup for a holiday season, or saying happy holidays, or saying God bless you, or, oh, we can't have the Ten Commandments in schools. Instead of our being offended by that, what if they became conversation inroads to, like, oh, you know, tell me where that's coming from for you, and we just become doorways to the gospel, because clearly it might be coming from people who are hurt or simply just trying to express something. And so I think sometimes when we just get caught up in our own feelings of feeling offended, we actually get in the way of the gospel. If we could just kind of get a little bit out of the way, and this is what I mean, it takes some wisdom. Because, yeah, if somebody's just trying to provoke you, sure, it's probably not wise to really engage with that person. But other people may say something offensive out of hurt and anger and or ignorance. And these might be in this very great opportunities to engage culture rather than be at war with culture. And, you know, there's right now in the United States, there's this whole, like, oh, there's this war on Christmas, or there's this war on Christians and war on the church and war on religion and war on faith. And it's like, you know, the culture might respond similarly, that it seems like Christians are at war with culture. Church is at war with culture. In fact, we even use imagery that depicts that spiritual battle being against flesh, which is not what Paul says. Our battles against principalities and powers and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's not people. But we seem to be pretty quick to beat up on people sometimes. And we take offense. And this offensiveness becomes a weapon, not an invitation to further engagement and gospel, you know, gospel-centered living, you know. And that's where I think, you know, wherever you are on your faith journey, I hope that is helpful to you, because I'm not saying you won't be offended. I just think we spend so much time being offended that we don't use them as opportunities to, you know, have deeper engagement with the culture.
So backing up to the earlier part of the discussion, which was kind of an overview of Jesus and what Jesus means, I think, you know, there we are looking at some very, you know, Jesus, the one who chose a lifestyle that was humble, Jesus who limited himself for our sake. And any thoughts on on some of those ideas and concepts of who Jesus was, these different attributes of him?
I don't know that I'll answer that directly, Ken, because I think the importance to me, the takeaway for me is like in the person of Jesus. We talked about Jesus as social reformer, Jesus as theological reformer. Talked about the ways those things, they were carried out through his teaching ministry, his healing ministry, his prophetic ministry. So, again, social critique of his culture and the religious establishment and the powers of the day. But I think what I hope is what if you're a Christian, the question is, did you know these aspects to Jesus? You know, have you gotten so comfortable in your faith that Jesus, like in some senses, Jesus we talked about says, blessed are those who are not offended by me, which leads you to believe that if you read Jesus carefully enough, you might be offended. And if you're really comfortable in your faith, you're a long time church going person, or you consider yourself Christian, I would say, are you reading Scripture deeply? Because I think there are things in there that are just incredibly challenging and provocative, and you know, help stir us up to think and perhaps hope, you know, to repent. You know, so on the one hand, like, do you see, you know, if social justice to you is it's too political, well, Jesus seems to have messed around with the political establishment and it got him killed. So can you really completely, as a Christian, say, I'm not going to be involved at all with the political establishment, social justice doesn't concern me? That just, I don't think you've read the Scripture. And then if you're a person who perhaps lost your faith, or, I don't know that I follow Jesus, did you know that there was this aspect about Jesus, this social justice? You know, have you ever thought that perhaps some of your arguments against the faith, you know, there's suffering, there's evil and injustice in the world, how could that be? That this same Christian faith says, yeah, how could that be? And by the way, here's how we're working by the power of the Spirit to address those issues as part of God's plan for redemption, restoration. So I just think that's important, you know, to sort of see all these different roles and aspects played by Jesus, because it either deepens your faith, or if you're a seeker, or, you know, wondering about Jesus, it helps you to explore Jesus more deeply, rather than just getting the you know, whatever sound bites we currently get or the memes we currently get about Jesus. I think that would be a very enriching exercise. So the Gospels leave us with that. They take us through that question. Who is Jesus? What did Jesus do? And how are we called to respond to that now? You know, something has happened in the person of Jesus. And I was remarking yesterday in a conversation we were having that it is fascinating to me that every worldview that I'm familiar with that is popular in the sense that it has more than a small little cult interacting with it, although even cults sometimes have to do this, is everyone has had to respond to Jesus. Who is Jesus? My Buddhist friends have had to say, he's like an enlightened Buddha. You know, he's come back to help others become also enlightened. Hindu friends have said, absolutely, we take Jesus and let's let him join the pantheon of gods, and we understand the divine and the human interacting, and you know, Christian scriptures, they're interesting to us. My Sikh friends have said, hey, you know, we take some of Christian scriptures, we consider them holy, on and on and on. You could go, you know, I have a Muslim brother-in-law, he loved the story of Jesus growing up that's in the Quran. So when he met my sister, and my sister's like, yeah, I'm a Christian, it wasn't far-fetched for him because he loved the story of Mary and Jesus, of Mariam and Jesus. So there's a way in which every religion, every major religion and major worldview has had to deal with who is Jesus. And we make him into a teacher or a prophet or, you know, whatever way we go, or we make him into a symbol or metaphor. But for these early Christians, they had to answer that question. And I think their actions and their beliefs need to be based on who they believed Jesus to be, because it's absolutely connected. And I think the same goes for us today. If we intend to follow Jesus or answer the question, who is Jesus, what did he do, and how do we respond?
And I like just what you said, who is Jesus, what did we do, and how do we respond? And the question and the exercise we had at the end with the pitchers and the offensive, and then that, you know, what we focus on and what's important to us offends us. And it's almost like you wonder if all those stories and all those lessons Jesus taught us that kind of got us offended were so that we could stop and look at ourselves and say, hey, why does this offend me? What can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? How can I change? And how can I be better through this experience? Because as we were talking and sharing, I just typed something in and looked up a quote. And this quote, I think, kind of sums up for me, you know, the big takeaway I got is, you know, these things that offend me, why do they offend me and how do I learn? And the quote says, "The only real conflict you will ever have in your life won't be with others, but with yourself." So I think all those things that happened and experiences and what we read and what we see and when it offends us, you know, it's kind of like to me, I'm like, oh, I'm going to stop and say, why does this offend me? How can I learn and grow from this experience?
There was a preacher, we didn't get into this, but there was a preacher who was controversial because he would always tell a story of some child he had met who was in incredible poverty, and he would tell, or a story about war or something, but something he had lived out, and he would tell this story that was so sad and tragic, and he would always make it a point to curse in this story, and he would end the story, and he said, "Now I've come to the end of the story, and I guarantee that most of you are offended that I've cursed inside your holy space while telling you the story of this great injustice, and you're far more offended by my curse word than you are by the story." And some people got it. Some people were like, oh my gosh, that's so true. And others were like, don't care, stop listening to you, you're absolutely offensive, we'll never have you back. And that's why he was somewhat controversial. Whether you agree with him or not, the point is, there's a sense in which the prophets are doing that throughout Scripture. They're going, I'm going to offend you. But the thing that this thing that offends you is pointing at is far more offensive. And you still don't care. You're going to still live your lives and continue your acts of oppression or oppression by omission or, you know, whatever it might be. And that's just something that is worth sitting with. You know, what is the thing you're easily offended by, and what's the thing you let pass all the time, every day?
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Riverfront Church Podcast. You can connect with us online at riverfrontwilmo.com or on Facebook. Just search for Riverfront Church in Wilmington, Delaware. May God meet you where you are and lead you where you are meant to go.